Hi, this is Karen Doyle. Welcome to the Cultural Heart of Southwest Virginia, Authentic, Distinctive, Alive, the weekly program where we'll be bringing you the artisans and musicians of the Crooked Road and the Round the Mountain Artisan Trail. Today we've got Todd Christensen, who is the Executive Director of the Southwest Virginia Cultural Heritage Foundation. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Thanks, Karen. It's good to be here, Emery and Henry.
Now, I just met Todd recently, but I know your impact in this region goes way back. Can you kind of tell us how you originally got started about your work in Southwest Virginia and tell us a little bit about how you've evolved over the years?
Okay. I've been upwards of 30 years working in community development in throughout the state and across the whole Commonwealth of Virginia from Eastern Shore all the way to the Cumberland Gap. And because we were engaged in community development projects, and there's a great need in Southwest Virginia because there's been so much transition of the economy and resulting in displacement of people's jobs and so forth, that we've concentrated a lot of water lines. I work for the Department of Housing and Community Development, and we have probably been involved in waterline development of over 1,000 miles in this region. So I've been about every hollow in this area, and we've rehabilitated hundreds and hundreds of houses. So I've been in a lot of those. And as we went along and we're working on industrial parks and the utilities and housing, it became apparent that with the loss of so many manufacturing jobs, particularly in textiles and furniture, loss of tobacco farming, which was a mainstay, and the railroads that were aligned with those, and even coal employs only 10% of the people directly that it did 50 years ago. So it became clear to us probably about a dozen years ago that if we weren't dealing with the basic economic structure, we were just really band-aiding the problem. So we started looking at how there could be an economic restructuring that went hand in hand with the traditional economic development. You know, you still need to try to attract manufacturing and try to attract those types of industries that tie into the natural assets, but the whole area of asset-based economic development wasn't being pursued in a region that has such incredible cultural and natural assets. So we started consciously working on a strategy with our partners in the planning districts and local governments to start introducing a new economic development.
It seems so progressive, such a progressive model in such a time of need across the country. I hadn't come across this notion before. Is this something you all introduced, or is this a model that you adopted from that had some results that had been shown in other areas?
That's a good question. I cannot discuss how we got into this without giving credit to our partners in North Carolina. Western North Carolina, there's an organization called Handmade in America. It's economic development through the arts, and whose director was just the most dynamic spark plug. Her name is Becky Anderson, and we had worked with Becky. I'd seen her at conferences over the years, especially with I used to run the Appalachian Regional Commission program for Virginia, and we were very interested in how they went multi-county, they tied into downtowns, they used the arts. We did not know whether Southwest Virginia had the craft resources and numbers of people and programs that North Carolina had, which has been added for many, many years since the New Deal. I started to just look at what they're doing. We started doing downtown revitalizations in the downtowns because along with the dislocation of jobs, there was the advent of the big box retailers that pretty much obliterated a lot of the goods and services in the downtown areas, and people were just trying to compete with Walmart and Target, but they can't do it. And so what we've done is we've been working with the downtowns to make them into cultural centers versus goods and services centers. But the start of all this happened in 2002. The ARC had a creative economy conference in Asheville for all of Central Appalachia, and Becky Anderson was the keynote speaker there, and I represent housing community development. And at that conference, they just laid out a lot of what's going on throughout the whole region, but they had a music event one night, and after the music event, I was in the hotel lobby, and there was musicians jamming in there. There was about a dozen of them, and as I found out later, some of them were very world known, like Wayne Henderson. But this guy, about, I don't know, 1 a.m., this guy kind of sidles up next to me, and I didn't know if he was a street person or what. And he started discussing the music, and I told him that we were working on this project at Ralph Stanley Museum in Clintwood, and we were really worried about how we could get people, because a lot of money was going to this Ralph Stanley Museum, and Clintwood is so relative, unless you live in Clintwood, where it's the center of the universe, it's relatively isolated if you're coming from a major metropolitan area. He was working on the Blue Ridge Music Center near Galax on the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is similarly remote, and that was a huge project, music and arts project. Well, he told me he knew Ralph Stanley, and you know, I kind of rolled my eyes. He told me he knew Jeanette Carter, and again, I kind of rolled my eyes, and this person and that person, and as I found out later, yes, he knew them and many more, but his name's Joe Wilson. And Joe was the director of the National Council for Traditional Arts. And as it happened, they were also, they do the National Folk Festival, which they were going to bring to Richmond, Virginia, where I was stationed at the time, living. And we got to talking about how could we cross-promote Clintwood and Galax. They're about 200 miles apart, and they aren't a natural, it isn't natural. What do they have in common? Well, it's traditional music. Ralph Stanley's the guy that never went to Nashville. Old Brother Art Thou had come out. Galax is ground zero for bluegrass and old-time music with the Fiddler's Convention. And so what's in between? The Carter Fold, Abingdon, what's nearby, Floyd Country Store. So we kind of corresponded after that for a few months and then decided just to invite all the people we knew to the Carter Fold in January of 2003. It snowed about 5 inches that day, but...
And don't I remember hearing you say that the Ralph Stanley Museum was set to be raised, and this kind of came
up. The house was,
yeah,
right.
The potential, and look what it's become today, and what a vision.
Yeah, it was part of a downtown project. The county owned the building. They were going to tear it down. It was a four-story funeral home in the middle of town, and they're going to tear it down for 30 parking spaces. So the town was able to buy through a community development block grant that we provided them, and then they were trying to find a way to use the building, and they wanted a county museum or something, a coal museum, something. And we told them that it had to be something that somebody outside of Dickinson County would like to visit. And so we came upon, well, Brother Art Thou come out, and Ralph Stanley still lived in Dickinson County, still went to the grocery store there. So he decided to do a Ralph Stanley Museum, and we're able to get financing funding. And Joe Wilson helped us. He came all the way to Clintwood from Silver Springs, Maryland. About halfway through the project, we even told Ralph Stanley what we were doing. And so getting back to that, Joe called all his music friends, his folklore and arts friends. You know, like Apple Shop came, and we had the state folklorists, and I called the planning districts, the localities, and the tourism people. And even though it was 5 inches of snow at the Carter Fold, which is also very isolated, we had 20-something people show up. They were so from as much as 150 miles away, and they didn't even know what it was. They knew we were going to try to do some kind of music trail. And out of that, the Holy Ghost came somehow, because everybody went out and did what they could do. The VDOT guy went out and got signs. we went to the localities. I gave a big pitch to localities. They all agreed to themselves to support this at a meeting we had in Amden in June of that year. They wanted to support it, which is the hallmark today still, that the Crooked Road and Round the Mountain are supported by localities, contributions, voluntary contributions by localities. From that, we got waysides. We wanted a very visible guide, and then we tied, we had a capital improvement program to renovate the major venues. There were 8 major venues on the Crooked Road, and then to do the downtowns, if they were in a downtown area, to actually do a downtown revitalization to try to get music, arts, and food and everything in the downtown restaurant. From that, Mark Warner loved the Crooked Road. And so he thought that we should do a trail for craft and like the Crooked Road. And he actually put it in a bill, and he also thought there should be a artisan center somewhere in Southwest Virginia to display craft. Well, we didn't know because there was no craft organization in Southwest Virginia. I called everybody I could think of for that I hadn't met. Woody Crenshaw, who I'd never met. I knew Betsy White. We had lots and lots of people that had been involved in craft that I just happened to know about. We got them together, and we're also told that they wanted craft trails in every county. That Secretary Mike Shule wanted craft trails in every county. Well, that's just simple. We need an organization that doesn't exist of crafters, and we need trails in every single county in Southwest Virginia, studios and galleries and so forth. And believe it or not, they developed some spark plugs emerged from that. Woody Crenshaw, Betsy White, and then he hired Diana Blackburn. And now today, there's 570-something members around the mountain. There's artisan trails in every county.
I'll tell you, what's impressive is not nearly even just the scope of it, which is impressive in and of itself, but just the time in which you accomplish this. I mean, this would take some localities, they'd still be working on hashing through the plans. What a collaborative effort. It's just, we're so fortunate to have that here in Southwest Virginia, and I know that's kind of the lead up to how we've got what else you're involved in, that a lot of people mistakenly think that your role is just, I've heard them say, oh, Todd's the director of Heartwood, and now knowing this whole, how it all fits in Heartwood, and I know that's where you were leading to. Tell us about that.
Okay. Part of that bill that Mark Warner started was an artisan center somewhere in Southwest Virginia. We did an RFP. The money went through our department. We had $3 million. And Abingdon won the RFP over other communities that were in the region. And they provided $1 million and 8 acres on that community college site. This was the first decision. I brought all these people that were from around the region that have been involved in the Crooked Road and around the mountain, and you know, there's certain planning districts and you know, leaders that had developed. And first thing they did was say, this isn't a center, it's going to be a gateway, and it's not going to be all about Abingdon, it's going to be about Southwest Virginia. And so we want it to be not a welcome center, but a showplace of the culture of Southwest Virginia. Delegate Bud Phillips and Terry Kilgore decided that that there were too many projects going on and organizations involved in tourism and arts and museums and so forth in Southwest Virginia, and none of the funders, like the Tobacco Commission, could make sense out of how they fit together, whether it's duplication or not, whether they were working in concert or in competition. So they, in 2009, they developed what's called the Southwest Virginia Cultural Heritage Commission. That bill was probably the first thing that defined Southwest Virginia that the General Assembly's come out with, of the 19 counties, from Franklin Patrick all the way to Lee. And it's tied to the downtown revitalization of about 30 downtowns in the region are all tied together with this. And we're at the behest of Senator Warner and Senator Wampler, We have undergone an initiative to do outdoor recreation somewhere to the Crooked Road. So in doing the Crooked Road, Crooked Road now has more than 60 venues associated with it that have weekly music events.
And so you're telling us that there's more to come, that your work is only just beginning. And this is the cultural heart of Southwest Virginia, authentic, distinctive, alive. This is Karen Doyle. And with me today is Executive Director Todd Christensen of the Southwest Virginia Cultural Heritage Foundation. We're talking now about the impact of Todd's work over the past 30 years in the region, which has culminated in Heartwood. And Heartwood is celebrating its first anniversary this month. And to mark that, it sounds noteworthy that you've just been recognized with your LEED certification. And I know even in the construction of the building, you were able to involve local artisans and source materials from within the region. Can you tell us a little more about just the specifics of that, how that came together?
Well, 70% of the materials involved in the construction of Heartwood are locally derived. Not the least of which is the wood, which was selectively harvested, hardwoods from around the region. If you go all the flooring and the ceiling and many things, the countertops are made out of stones from the New River. There's just everywhere you look in that building is Southwest Virginia. All the crafts are from the 19 counties of Southwest Virginia, juried members. The books are about Southwest Virginia. The music's Southwest Virginia musicians, and it's unbelievably high quality and diverse. We have now wines, there's 12 wineries in the region. We just recently had the first ever Southwest Virginia Wine Festival. Now, these things are housed in Heartwood, and people come to Heartwood, but they're from all these 19 counties. And there's relationships with the farmers and craftspeople, wineries in the 19 counties. So Heartwood isn't about just a place on the interstate. It's about bringing all those things from all those 19 counties and the videos that are shown there and just demonstrate. So someone coming off the interstate, it's like going in Alice in Wonderland. Like they fell down a rabbit hole and they've discovered a culture they didn't know existed. And that culture is Southwest Virginia, which is authentic, distinctive, and alive.
You have how many videos? I mean, I go and I watch and I go, I know I haven't even seen half of what you have here. I mean, it's just rich stories directly from the artisans and musicians of the region. That's just a monumental effort. Do you know how many videos you've got?
No, keep growing. We're now doing community videos in 15 communities around the region, telling their story, having people in those communities tell their story. We have about 200 videos either on our website or in Heartwood featuring craft people, musicians, the muster ground in Abingdon, and showing Coburn, the Lays building in Coburn, and everything did at Wilderness Road State Park. So we also are engaged in the whole migration story that Southwest Virginia played a very large part in. The Wilderness Road and Daniel Boone and all the settlers, that 25% of people in America can trace a descendant who, a predecessor wouldn't be a descendant. They are a descendant of people who came through the Cumberland Gap. So much of the country went through this area. This was a huge frontier story about this area that's not been really told. And the outdoor recreation, the ecological treasures in this area, and just the scenery have... It's just incredible.
I was feeling pretty proud of myself. I thought I had a pretty good grasp of the region. And when I walked into Heartwood and saw what I thought I had knew about the area and realized I had not even scratched the surface, I mean, it does a great job of telling the story. And there's so many stories here in the region to tell. And I just, my take on it is, it's just been very well thought out and does a great job. If you haven't been into Heartwood, it's worth just going in and learning about some of these stories. And then the idea from there is to just venture out and go meet some of the artisans on the trail sites that Todd is talking about. I know, Todd, I heard that you recently came back from some recent travels, and that sounds exciting. I know you were in Chicago with Bill Clinton, and then you went over to the White House. What have you been up to?
Well, we've been, especially at Crooked Road, but what's going on in Southwest Virginia has gotten a lot of national attention. The fact that the localities support financially and these cultural identity and economic development efforts is a story that people have a hard time believing because it's one of the most distressed counties in Virginia. But I was able to represent Central Appalachia with about seven other people in the Clinton Global Initiative, which is a kind of a think tank, big event that President Clinton does once a year that he personally presides over with the CEOs of major companies like IBM and Coca-Cola and GE, the governors, cabinet secretaries, all kinds of folks. And I was able to participate in that, representing our region. And the next week, by chance, we were invited to the office building at the White House participate in a conference of with the federal agencies, major federal agencies, and regional initiatives around the country. There was a EDA, Rural Development, HUD, Federal Highway, and the only initiative that was mentioned by the speakers was the Crooked Road in Heartwood. So we're pretty well known. And it isn't too long after that that people are going to know about Hayside and Pennington Gap and Stewart and Rocky Mount. And the last part of this is to we're showing the assets that exist now, but the assets that are going to exist 10 years from now are going to make existing assets pale because we're going to be able to develop, like, for example, St. Paul's developing in the ecological center in their downtown. Hayside's developing into a recreational center and a gateway to the Breaks Park. Freeze in Grayson County is developing into a recreational center on the New River. All these, even like Ivanhoe and these little towns that were mining and mill towns, can revive because many of them are on rivers. And we're focusing on outdoor recreation. We're focusing on birding and all these things around the region. So when we put all these in our 10 or 12 stories on our website, people from Schenectady and Sheboygan are going to see, wow, what a place I can see. I can go to bike a Creeper Trail, I can go to the winery, and I can go to the Barter Theater all in one day, and then go to the Carter Fold the next night for traditional music and dancing.
Well, as a relative newcomer, I am blown away by what the region has to offer, and I give little hints and things to people that I'm in touch with, and they can't believe it. They are eager to get up here, and the fact that, you know, all of this kind of traces 81 east and west and then 77 north and south, it's so accessible, and the point is to make sure they come off that highway and get into these communities that are so rich in all the cultural and natural assets and offerings, the artisans and musicians, and I know Heartwood showcases the musicians. That you've got an open jam now. When is that again?
Every Thursday night there's free music at Heartwood. There's either a youth music from somewhere in the region, a picked program from Buchanan County or others in Floyd and Colburn. There's a jam from somewhere. There are 60-something jams in the region, and we'll have the Chilhowee Jam or the Colburn Jam come over. And then every other night, the first, third, and fifth Thursdays, there's just a regular jam, and there's fantastic musicians come, and we have barbecue food. We have Virginia's fresh coastal seafood buffet on Friday nights. We're only open for dinner Thursday and Friday night. And then, of course, I think a lot of people are aware of the fantastic gospel brunch we have on Sundays from 10 to 3. Also, any special holiday, we're having special events. We had a fantastic Valentine's, female ballad singers from around the region. But the last thing I sort of want to mention, that our biggest hope is that by showing the fantastic culture and variety and the quality of life of this region and developing that quality of life to where the culture really deserves in our downtowns and communities, that we will attract not just tourists, but we'll attract people that are hungry, that have businesses or starting business, entrepreneurs or high-tech businesses, that are tired of Northern Virginia, tired of Philadelphia suburbs, and they're looking for a place to live, and tied with the high-speed telecommunications, that hopefully they'll select our wonderful communities and our culture in Southwest Virginia to locate their businesses in.
Well, thank you for your tireless efforts. It's inspiring, and we're looking forward to more of what sounds like is to come. And thank you for joining us today with the Cultural Heart of Southwest Virginia, Authentic, Distinctive, Alive. Join us next Wednesday at 1:30. We'll be back with more stories from the region.